Deshua Joyce hails from Pearl River, New York, a suburb of New York City. Raised in a nominal church-going family, she came up to Christ as a young hippie high school teacher in upstate New York. As a new believer, she shed her hippie exterior and joined the faculty of Pensacola Christian High School, teaching ninth grade English. That same year, she met her husband, Tom, at a singles Bible study. Only God could arrange a courtship between a hippie and a naval aviator. As a faithful Navy wife, Deshua gave birth to four children, two of them while Tom was deployed, homeschooled, and taught at Emmanuel Christian School for 11 years. Deshua received her undergraduate teaching degree at the State University of New York at Brockport and her master's at Sunny Cortland. Mentoring couples and particularly young moms is how God is using her gifting. Affectionately known to her eight grandchildren as Moony, short for the hippie name Moonbeam, she can still hit a mean five iron and has the most amazing craft room east of the Mississippi. So please welcome Deshua.
Usually when I have to write my own bio, one of the last things I say is that, among other things, I like to craft and to hike. I like to hike with Tom, but I don't like to craft with him, and that's an important distinction. He's not into crafting. So good evening. It is so good to see you. I see so many mentor moms that are still mentor moms from when I was a mentor mom here. And that means you've got a great group of women here. And as I look around, I see a lot of superheroes. Now, that was supposed to be a little poster that went on about the title of this, about superheroes, but that's you moms. You are the ones that tirelessly take care of your children. And you probably don't even understand why you're a superhero. But I have a few questions for you. Did you feed your kids today? Did you change any diapers or any clothes? Did you wipe away some tears? Did you read the same book 23 times? And how about the wheels on the bus go round and round and they've never stopped going round and round with the right kids? Some of you may have a little spit up on your shoulder, or maybe your makeup is only half done because you are rushing to get out of the house. But that is a super mom. I am sure of that. And I see that you left your capes at home, but that is okay because I can spot you a mile away. But one of the things that I note about superheroes is at the end of the day, they're very tired, aren't they? But their hearts are full on most days. Moms of preschoolers, you're really my favorite group to speak to because it doesn't seem like that long ago that I was sitting in groups just like you, trying to be encouraged, doing the best I could with my children. But most of the time I felt like maybe I was in the trenches with you. Have you ever felt like you're in the trenches? Okay? There were battles to be won. Some days I felt shell-shocked. You can tell I'm married to a military guy. You know, I was shell-shocked. Did my child just say no to me? And other days I held the flag as high as I could because I had some victory along the way, and I thanked God for his help. And at the end of the day, I crawled up those stairs, kind of Marine style, pulled myself into bed to get ready to do it all over again. But the encouragement is, I look back on that time fondly, and I really do. That's not just trying to encourage you. As you may know, that my husband Tom was in the Navy before he came to work here. So I've always paid attention to those military slogans that are out there, and I want to share a few with you. And it wasn't very long after I started my parenting with Ryan 40 years ago that I realized these slogans could pertain to motherhood. How about, it's not just a job, it's an adventure? Well, I usually rolled my eyes with that one. If you're not training, you're training to fail. I was pretty wise. When the going gets tough, what happens? The tough get going. And that was pretty catchy. But what about this one? We will never surrender. Be prepared for the battle. That was spot on. But the one that wasn't a slogan, but it was like probably in their training, one of the things that they may have said was, "We do not negotiate with terrorists." Do you have one in your home? I did. But the one I love most, and I think the one that defines parenting the best, is the slogan for the Peace Corps, and it's the toughest job you'll ever love. Mm-hmm. Doesn't that describe it? It's a hard job, ladies. You know it, but you love it on most days, like I said. So let me just pray before we get started here. Father, we just dedicate this time to you. May you be glorified with the words. May you speak to our hearts. May you just pat these women on the back, Lord, to tell them they are doing a job that is hard to do, but they're doing what they feel is best. And just would you use your word and the people and their mentor moms to just help them do what you've called them to do. And we pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Can I pick this up, Wheatley? When I teach Bible study, I do this. I really wanted to be a rock star, I think, for a while. And it's dangerous when, you know, in college, I used to use a deodorant bottle and, you know, pretend I was Janis Joplin. You probably don't know who she is. But, you know, I got to tossing that. I got pretty good with that. So this is kind of catchy for me. So how many of you were surprised at how hard parenting is? Raise those hands, girls. You know, it's a job that we feel ill-equipped for. We thought we might have. If you ever did a bunch of babysitting, you probably thought you were golden because it was going to be so easy for you. But it's not as easy as we think. The demands are so great all the time. It's a 24/7 job. We're sleep deprived. We look around and everyone seems to be doing it with ease. Don't believe that for a second. It's a lie. And the list goes on, doesn't it, of all that motherhood entails. But take heart, moms. We have a superpower that we can call on any time, any place, and that's the Lord. And he cares about your heart, and he's ready to help all the time. Psalm 142:3 says, "When I am overwhelmed," I was there, "you alone know the way I should turn." And I love that. So that's Psalm 142:3. "When I am overwhelmed, you alone know the way I should turn." So that tells us we really need to go to the source of who knows what we should do. And you know, we don't find that strength in ourselves all the time. There's, in parenting, no pull yourself up by the bootstrap, we'll get it done. But we find our help with the Lord. So try to do it on our own strength, and we might have some pretty miserable days. And I'm gonna tell you, I learned that lesson the hard way. Parenting my firstborn taught me a lot of things. It was hard, but it was manageable. I mean, it was one-on-one. And it surely was 24/7. But the rewards were so great. A hug, a kiss, those baby milestones. So I was excited when I got pregnant again and was going to have my second one 20 months later. And there were tears. And managing two under two is hard. But wait, this is a night about encouragement. So sorry. But I promise you I'll get to that. And again, it yielded its rewards. These two became great playmates. 38 years later, they're still good friends. And when my third one arrived, who just by his nature had this just happy to be here personality, and you know if you have one of those because they're a gift, I made the huge mistake of thinking I had perfected parenting. Yep. And that Justin was an easy child because I was such a great mom. And that's when God said, "Watch this, I'm giving you a fourth." And that was our Meg. She was full of vinegar, she was feisty, she wanted to be in charge of everybody and everything, including me. She was our strong-willed tornado. There were more tears. With Meg, there were lots of tears. And that's when I realized that I had done quite a bit of parenting in my own strength, rather than relying on the Lord for his help or information from the scriptures. What could I use that could encourage me? And so, rather than relying on the Lord for his health and strength, I just gutted it out. But wow, did I need to, with Meg's, recalculate my thinking. I think I must have said to God, "Uncle," something like that, "and I can't do it." To which I'm sure he quietly and lovingly said, "I know you can't, but I can." And that's when my journey with the Lord in parenting really, really picked up. Because he was using Meg to refine me. And once I realized it wasn't all about Meg being this, you know, horrible, terrible, no good, very bad child, like just Alexander, you know, God sent her there to make me a better person, a better mom. And once I joined him on that journey, parenting, you know, was a little bit easier because I saw the bigger lesson. So it was just as much as about God training me as me training Meg. And believe me, I needed to rely on God daily for that man to manage that strong-willed little girl. You see, God is that perfect parent, isn't he? He always knows what to do. He always knows what's right. But I want to remind you, sadly, that he has children that are unruly and disobedient, just like ours. So he can help us. And that's the encouragement. We don't do this alone. With Meg, I truly realized the depth of my inadequacy and my need for God's help. You see, I'd called on God many times for the bigger picture. Like, how do I get that to, you know, not that I got these answers, but I would mull it over with the Lord. How do I get this kid to stop whining? Mm-hmm. You know, Meg was afraid of so many things, and just, I don't know why I did this, but I said, "You know, Meg," she's probably about 4 or 5, "you can only be afraid of 3 things at a time. So pick your 3 and we'll stick with those." And you know, she did. She was afraid of like elevator, a tornado, and a thunderstorm. And she gave the rest up. It was great. So I don't credit myself for that. I credit the Lord. But like, how is the best way for me to introduce my children to you? How can we have a Christ-centered home? Those are the things that I had kind of mulled over with God. But it was Meg that really brought me to my knees and changed me as a mom, relying on God for his help in the dailiness of motherhood. I am so glad that I had a friend along the way who said, "Deshua, that energy properly channeled will do amazing things." And this was when Meg was 2. She would say that to me, and she said it to me often. And, you know, I just heard the last part, "will do amazing things." So I was like, this is great. This is great. Until I realized this energy properly channeled. And that was Tom and my job, that we had to properly channel all of her craziness into our world to bring her to where she is today. Now, the reason I can talk so freely about Meg is she knows I do, and she's okay with it, because when I was a mentor mom in MOPS, and then it became MOMS, she became known as the poster child of hope. So, hope, mom, it can happen. You see, God got a hold of her heart, and when she graduated from college, she became a missionary. She traveled the world sharing the good news of Jesus, and she lived in the Middle East for 5 years, reaching out to the Arab world. Who would have believed years ago that our terrorist would become a missionary? Certainly I did not at the time. So how can inadequacy in parenting be encouraging, you might ask? Well, it led me to go to the source of help, and that's the Lord and his word. The Lord in prayer and seeking his guidance through his word. You see, we run the risk of drawing from our own hearts, the way we were brought up, the way it seems she's doing it, the way it seems that makes sense. But we really can't trust our hearts. The Bible tells us that often, doesn't it? So we really need to go to the Lord for solutions and for help. So if we run the risk of standing in our own self-sufficiency, we probably won't be listening to God telling us how we can do this better, or, you know, it's never going to be perfect. It's not like there's this, "I wanted that so bad." If you do A plus B, you want that too, don't you? You're going to get C. You see somebody who has a good kid and you go like, so what do you do? You know, because you want that answer. But God is individual with each one of us, with our children. Now, I have in this jar 900, it's heavy, and 36 pennies. That's the title of that book. Well, that stands for the weeks that we have with our children from birth until they turn 19. That does not sound encouraging at all. But it can be if we think of each week as an opportunity, each penny as an opportunity to pour into our children in many different ways. Because if we're not careful, if we're not thinking about it, and the subtitle of this book is Discovering the Joy of Intentional Parenting, and I think it's really important, the word intentional here, because if we're not really careful, we're going to spend those pennies wishing the early stage will just go. Let's go from the twos to the threes, and let's go from 15 to 25, you know? But we have an investment that we need to make in our children, and God has given us those 936 weeks with our children. So we might neglect to invest in them spiritually if we're not thinking about it, or we may take the easy route of always, and I get that, always using screens and media to entertain our children. Well, this book is going to give you some ideas. It's not going to tell you exactly how to do it, but it's going to be the kick in the behind you might need to get you to be thinking, wow, I have this opportunity with my children, rather than, oh my goodness, will this day ever end? Well, I just finished the book study with some of the women from our ABF, and these are moms of preschoolers just like you, and it's my hope that because they've read this book, that they'll be thinking weekly how they can make Jesus more real to their children. What can they do to have some family fun? Or how can they explore the world so their children can see the awesomeness of God's creativity? In other words, how can they spend those pennies wisely? You know, it's said that life is like a coin. You can spend it any way you want, but you can only spend it once. But in this jar, we have 936 opportunities to invest in our children, and that's encouraging. Time is moving quickly. You know that, don't you? But in God's economy, we have enough time to do this parenting thing without resorting to panic. The author of this book says, every week, no matter how demanding and exhausting, God has promised you his presence. And that is everything you need for walking the road of parenthood. No matter your situation, he knows it. And he is waiting to meet you right where you are. He goes before us, and he already knows what lies ahead. He knows the way. And that's the beauty of these penny jars. They reveal to us just how much we need Jesus for the journey. Now, the woman in here got this penny jar from her pastor when they had child dedication. And she brought it home, and it took her a while to, like, really think about what those pennies meant. But what she did is she put another jar right next to it, and each week she actually takes a penny out and puts it in the other jar and then thinks, what did we do last week? And so she's also thinking proactively, what can we do this week that will spend that penny well? So if you're struggling just to make it through your day, this book could be pretty encouraging to you. And I know you're thinking, I know it. How will I ever find time to read this book? I don't have any time for myself. But I might say that it might be detrimental for you not to read this book. When my children were little, and there were so few books out there that were really good, there's so many that are good now, I had a few books that I became what I would call my cheerleading books. I didn't have much time to read them either, but at night I might just grab one and read two or three pages, and it got me back in the game again. It was like, yes, I can do it. It was like, yes, sis boom ba, you can do it. And this could be your cheerleading book. I really think it could be. So read a few pages at a time and feel better and get back in the game. But tonight I want to share with you three categories of how we can spend our money wisely, our pennies. The first thing is we can introduce them to Jesus. And that we do that by giving God first place in our lives, in our homes. Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 and 7 say, "These commandments that I give to you today are to be on your heart." So that starts with us. It always starts with us, doesn't it, Mom? Okay, we need to be in God's Word. We need to be studying it. We need to know what He wants to tell us. So that's what this part of the first part of the verse means. It's you, Mom. Then impress them on your children. Once you know these things, tell them. I have even today, I have what I call coffee with Mom. And if I have like an aha moment, I might write a little email to all the kids and just say, I want to share this with you. Mm-hmm. Or sometimes I do it with my grandkids, you know, because they've been impressed on my heart. Then talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. You see, God's telling us that every moment has a possibility to impress on our children that God is good and He has good plans for us. He sent His Son to rescue us. He created a wonderful world for us. So you get it? The opportunities to speak of the Lord are everywhere. And that's the message of Deuteronomy 6. And those are pennies well spent. And I think the best way to do that, to live Deuteronomy 6, is be what you should be, and then live close enough to your children to have it rub off. So I want to share a few things that we've done, my kids do, the internet has told me about it. I want you to know I have not done all these things, but when I see something that's good, I like to share it. So some of you may already be doing this because I know that you all don't have just babies with you anymore. Some of you have some older children. But I hope you're having some time to have some family devotions with them. We did it after dinner. Dinner was not done until we had a time of either reading a child's Bible or a book that we were reading through. The Jesus Storybook, if you have that, that's a great way to start with the Jesus storybook. Two of my children have started doing Sabbath night each week, and one of them only has their oldest one is 4, but they make this a different night. They light candles, they have a longer prayer time, they have both chosen pizza as their dinner because they know everybody will eat that, but it's a time set aside to just focus on the Lord. One of them is going through this New City Catechism. I don't know how many of you have heard of this. Yeah. Okay. You know, a catechism is a question and an answer. And this one is for kids. Now, some of the answers are pretty long, so it's not like you're 1 year old. But, you know, when, you know, depending on how astute or how verbal your kids are, you know, some of them can learn. And this has some songs with it. And when you do those songs, that stays with you forever. Do you know who is the Redeemer? It's just so cool. And, you know, the kids sing that. With Meg, that's when I found out about blessing your children before they went to bed. I was grabbing at anything. So that's when we started doing every night for our kids, putting their hands on their head and taking the numbers, the Aaronic blessing of the Lord bless you and keep you, the Lord make His face. And they knew that when we said good night, it was good night, but that was the last words that they heard. Let me think. Memorizing scripture. Oh, if you have scripture to songs, you will learn it faster. This is something that I'm giving each one of you. I didn't cut everybody's out, but these are prayer cards, and I think these are so cool. So this one says, call out. That's when you say, dear Lord. The next one is praise. Tell God why He's wonderful. Give thanks. Thank you, Lord, for, and so on. And I just think that's a tool that you can use with your 2-year-olds to get them in the habit of prayer. You know, my family, as Tom said, nominal church-going family, you know, we did pray together.
three times a year, Easter, Thanksgiving, and Christmas. And it was this rote prayer that we all memorized. And so when I became a believer, that was a new world for me. But how cool to start your kids now with some of those like prayer cards that's just a natural part of their lives. So be thinking about that. Another way to spend pennies wisely is investing in nature. I used to tell my kids when we would take walks, like, look at the colors. Tell me what colors you see. And I would say, you know, God could have made the world all black and white, couldn't he? But he wants to wow us. He wants to wow us with the sunrise, with the sunset, with the rainbow, the pretty birds that are out there. Get your kids excited about God's awesome creation. There's another thing that I'm going to give you, and it is a prayer walk. I think this is such a cool tool. When you're taking a walk with your kid, if you see a bird, you can stop and thank God for promising to always be with you. If you see a butterfly, ask God to use the church to share his love. And so each of maybe 10 different things on this has something that you can pray about. Another technique of teaching your kids, anytime is a good time to prayer. And then you can go on a scavenger hunt with your kids. Go together as a family. Make it a geocaching time. And don't forget to have good old family fun. And it's okay to have fun, just fun. It's great to do things with other families and it adds to the joy, and the kids love seeing their family, their friends. But don't neglect doing things just with your own family, because they're the ones that you're going to have for the rest of their lives, and you want them to bond real well. Is there something that you can do that kind of builds that bonding in your family? I think of it as like your family's DNA. Some people, there's some simple things you can do, like some families have pancakes every Saturday morning. Some families have a special weekly game night. Some ideas, maybe hiking state parks. I read an article about a family that it said, this family collects waterfalls. I thought, well, what's that all about? Well, it was about that they would find waterfalls and then take pictures of them. And that was their family memory. When our kids were young, we drove by, it was a chair factory. And there was this huge chair outside. So we called it Goliath's chair. And so anytime they saw anything that was oversized, it was Goliath's boots, it was Goliath's hat, it was Goliath's this. And I have a feeling that they're still looking for Goliath's belongings. A year ago, I started looking for heart-shaped rocks. I don't know why I did, but I have my own little collection of these beautiful heart-shaped rocks. One is from the Valley of Elah, where David slew Goliath. How cool is that? One from the Grand Canyon, and so on. And I brought my grandchildren into this idea, because when I find one, I show it to them, and I said, you know, I like to think when I find a heart-shaped rock that God is saying to me, I love you. And so they find them now. And in fact, on the way up here, I got a text from a friend of mine. She goes, I took a walk today and I found a heart-shaped rock and I thought of you and I prayed for your family. So that's kind of my own DNA, not my, you know, but now we're passing it on to my grandchildren. And what about this? We're from Virginia. You know, Virginia is for lovers. And there is one family that goes to as many of those love signs. They're popping up all over the place and taking their pictures in front of it. How cool to be on the lookout for something together and then filling up an album with that. And, like, just take something as simple as sidewalk chalk. You can do so many things with that on your driveway, an obstacle course, roads for cars, and so on. Well, I'm going to kind of wrap it up, but so I'm giving you some ideas now, and I'm sure you're going to get some at your tables later on tonight, but I like what the author of 936 Pennies says. She goes, I want to look at these jars not simply as pennies, but rather a collection of memories. I want to give my children a storehouse of, hey, remember when moments that will bring a smile to their faces. I don't think, and this is so important, if you haven't listened to another thing I've said or anything I've said, listen to this. I don't think it's our job as moms and dads to make every moment memorable. Rather, I believe that our job is to open our eyes wide and sink our feet deep down into those moments when we spot them. When those opportunities avail themselves, we are ready and eager to snatch them up and hold them with awe. We will only remember those moments in all their brilliant detail to the extent that we pay attention now. When she interrupts your work and asks you to push her on the swing, or he insists that you come and see another of his latest block tower constructions, these are gem moments. They shine brightly from among the ordinary of life, but only if we offer them the attention they are due. And this is when the ordinary transforms from overlooked to holy. So as you head into your summer, be on the lookout for those gems. Some of these gems you'll create yourself by prayerful planning, and others will be the rhythm of your family as you have family devotions or bless your children at night. But remember, the ordinary will be transformed to holy if not overlooked. And I pray that you will use this time wisely with your toddlers to invest in their lives one penny at a time, creating memories that will last a lifetime. Let's pray. Father, you have given us this, our children, and we thank you for each one that's represented here tonight. And we pray, Father, that you will keep our eyes open to look for how we can share you with them, how we can share your glories in nature, and how we can just simply have fun with our children, making time for that. So we rest in you, knowing that you will guide us, and we pray that you would help us to be diligent to plan. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.